Hey, welcome back to IndieCan Radio, your front row seat and backstage pass to Canada's emerging music scene. This week from La Belle Provence, we're looking at the Quebec City indie scene. On deck, we have Jeff Leek from XM Satellite Radio. But first, live from Quebec, Mesdames et Messieurs, Void's Anatomy.
Thank you. We're enjoying the music of Void's Anatomy. We're here in Quebec City. Joe, of course, you know my voice. Barry Mel.
Hello.
And Marie-George.
Marie-George.
George.
Yeah.
Okay, I will continue to struggle, and I hope you bear with me with that. The main principle of Void's Anatomy. Now, what's your rig for performing live? What do you have with you when you're doing a live performance?
Well, we're three people on stage. I'm doing chaos pads with the vocals, a little bit of other things. There's a drum player that also goes with samplings and a little bit of keyboards. And there's a guitar player. Yeah. And then the last show we did was we put up with projections. So now there's
visuals. Yeah.
Yeah. Images I shot when I was traveling.
Now, when people see your CD package, they should understand that the artwork are all photos you've taken. If they're not jealous enough of you because of your vocal skills, they may come to hate you when they realize that you're, you know, a National Geographic quality photographer as well.
Well, I'm just sharing.
But for the rest of us who, you know, struggle with a point and click, right? You know, it's pretty impressive, that's for sure. But yeah, the packaging is pretty incredible, that's for sure.
Thank you.
And you shared with me some of the stories of just, like you say, your travels. I mean, there's some images here from India, from where else have you, did you mention?
Yeah, there's Australia, India. There's one in Quebec, of course. There's one in the Canary Islands and Fuerteventura.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty great. Now, Barry, you're very well-versed on the Quebec music scene. You work with other artists and that sort of thing. And I got to tell you, you showed me another side of you when you said, hey, Joe, you've got to check out this music act. Because, I mean, you're a rock and roller, right?
Right.
You know, you're listening to, you know, Ray Davies. And you're listening to Pat the White, of course. And, you know, anything blues, anything rock and roll. Aerosmith, right? You were bragging about your Aerosmith collection. So what turned you on to this music?
I think it's the creativity of it all. It's not just music. It's like she was explaining before, she takes sounds that she got from countries and then reverses them and creates music. And I think it's fascinating. And also, I think that she's so dedicated just to going out and spreading her music to people by the travel that she took across Canada and down to San Diego, that I'm very impressed with her.
Yeah, that sounds like madness.
Yeah, I'm a little bit crazy.
So how long did you take on this trip?
I took like 6 months. Yeah. Oh, well, 7 months, yeah, in all.
Yeah. And Dave came with you for part of it?
For part of it, yeah.
And then said, you're crazy.
Yeah, I'm going back home. I have to work.
And then you just carried on telling your story to whoever would listen.
Yeah.
And trying to collaborate with any artists along the way that you could find, right?
Yeah, I love collaborating. Yeah.
Are the artists in Quebec very receptive to that sort of thing? I mean, Quebec, you just seems like an artistic community. Is that accurate?
Yeah. It's very easy to collaborate with people here. It's like a big family or something. Yeah, yeah.
And so they all work very well together. And are they just as receptive to outsiders coming to share their music, like bands traveling from Toronto or Halifax? Is it easy for bands to get support when they come out and play if people don't know who are? Or do you have to kind of break into the family before you get heard?
Well, of course, it depends on the group of people, but I mean, in the people I know and the bands I know there's a lot of opening.
Yeah, I think there could be a misconception as well about a language problem that doesn't exist. But, you know, I know that Quebec, French Canadians might be intimidated by going to Toronto because they might not feel like they can communicate, and the same thing must be true. for people from English Canada coming here, they don't realize that there's a big bilingual ability and the artists perform in English, even if they're French.
Well, so many bands I know from Western Canada, you know, they do a cross-Canada tour that ends in Montreal, and then they quickly drive back to Ontario.
Yeah. Or they might even go right to New Brunswick instead of stopping in Quebec City.
That's right. So what are the venues like in Quebec City? Is this a good place to play music? And what types of music go over the best here? Is it, you know, folk-oriented, rock-oriented? What creates the most enthusiasm here?
I'd say it's a mixed variety. There's a folk, big folk festival here, as well as a hard rock. You know what the most popular band in Quebec City is? Iron Maiden. And Iron Maiden doesn't need to make another album, and they can come here twice a year, sell out the biggest venue. It's just a little crazy for that. I don't quite understand that.
Yeah, because that's not the music you hear when you look at the Bienvenue à Quebec ads that you see on television. That's not the music they use in the background. It's always, you know, organic Quebec folk music is what they're still promoting as this is the culture here. Right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But it's not what the young people of Quebec are listening
no,
to.
No, they can't seem to get over this Iron Maiden fixation they have.
But even in the kind of music I do, which is more like post-rock or atmospheric or ambient, you name it, and it's harder a little bit, like it's a very underground scene.
That's true.
But there's still people there. But still, it's like, you know, like there's a Godspeed You Black Emperor from Montreal. It was all instrumental, but still they were quite... They could fill up venues here and things.
Right.
Yeah, it worked. So there's people there, but yeah, they just need to hear about you or what you're doing. Or it's really underground.
Bienvenue à tous à Daniel Casie en cette soirée du 31 août. Je suis vraiment, vraiment touchée de vous voir en si grand nombre. Tout du beau monde en plus. Je suis vraiment, vraiment contente. Get shed.
drink was the pipe as the unfading essence I'll run by doubt. Neither sun or silence would be without thee. By your meanings for distance, clash embracing harmony.
Is what would I find in your record collection of music that you still like to listen to on a regular basis?
You would find Sigur Rós, that band from Iceland, Mum as well from Iceland, and a lot of small bands.
No Avril Lavigne? No Celine Dion?
No. Like Early Day Miners or Granddaddy or Kala, bands like that. Yeah.
And who introduced you to music and who got you off the normal beaten path or the normal mainstream music?
It's a good question because nobody in my family is really into music. They were more into classical music. And when I was 15 years old, I would listen to Tom Waits, you know, and Black Sabbath and things like that. And I don't know where I got that from. I really don't. I just loved it. I just always listen to my heart, basically.
Yeah.
It drives my guts, you know.
It's funny you would say that, like they belong together. Like you probably wouldn't find Tom Waits in a lot of Black Sabbath fans' music collection, and you wouldn't find a lot of Black Sabbath in Tom Waits fans' music collection either. But you treat those like, well, that's cool and that's cool, and yeah. You know, why wouldn't you mix it up?
Yeah.
Barry seems to be like this a little bit too in terms of his wide range and musical taste.
Yeah, my influence started when I was 6 years old. My older brother was 14 when I was 6, and on his 15th birthday, I think he got Led Zeppelin 2. So I was 6 or 7 years old, listening to A Whole Lot of Love. And you know, it's part of the problem with the music industry is that it's become so prefabricated. And look at we were talking about shows like American Idol. I mean,
yeah.
That's not music.
Yeah.
That's prepackaged.
Yeah, it's and like I use that word disposable, like a Kleenex. You know, you use it once and throw it away, right?
You know,
these are not songs that you'll be listening to 20 years from
flavor
now.
Flavor of the month.
Yeah.
I'm amazed that the Spice Girls are actually touring and they're actually selling out arenas. I mean, it just doesn't make a lot of sense.
I don't pretend to understand modern culture and what's popular. I think we were talking earlier when the first Survivor ever came on, I thought, this is as real as professional wrestling. Everyone can see through this. You're insulting the public, and they're not going to stand for it. I was wrong. Nothing's more popular than reality TV now.
As far as Mary George, though, there's nothing more original than what I've heard from her.
Oh, it's fascinating. It makes you want to know the whole story, right? Mm. You listen to that, and it's yeah. Any artist, I have a certain test where if I listen to so many artists, and if it goes a second round in the car CD player, and I go, oh, good, the song won again, right? And we just keep on going. That's sets it apart from the rest of the crowd. You were talking about your new projects you're working on and sounds you're collecting and that sort of thing. And, you know, I will always be ready to listen to a new record of yours because it's just remarkable. You can't nod on radio. You have to give audible responses.
Yes. There's some special sensitivity into people, and there's something in the heart that works. It's not to do with the brain or anything. It's like independent intelligence, I would say, from the art. And there's I have the strong belief that music that really comes from the heart and really comes from that vibration, people can feel it. It's not something you can talk about. It's something that's just there. And that's what I like about music. Like when I love a band, why I love that band is I just feel that it comes from the gut. It comes from somewhere else than the head. It's not like
the central nervous system.
Yeah, and it's like not like, well, I should do a 5-minute song because I have to, and I should put this and that there because then people will like it. And it's not about this. Like when I do music, I do it, of course, for people, but I do it first for that strong feeling I have, which is just my inner intuition. There's nothing more. There's just feeling. Just feeling and just simplicity. And I'm not thinking. I'm just doing it. And it's like being a channel. It's like being a channel and you just give a message, but it's not completely just from you. It's not something you create all from the beginning. It's something that's there already, and you just take it and put it into words or put it into sounds. It's the way I see music. Yeah.
Well, let me ask one more question, and that is, when do you know you have a song that you want to express in the French language, and when do you know you have a song you want to express in the English language?
It's just the way the song is born. There's no, I never think ahead. Oh, this song will be in French, or oh, this song will be in English. I never think. I just create the song, and the words that come up, if they're in English, they're in English. If they're in French, they're in French. I even have a song in Swedish on that record.
Oh, wow.
Because I love those languages, and I just love languages in general. And I promised myself never to censure myself, because it's not, nothing to do, once again, with the head or with taking decisions, or it's not, I don't really wander. And that's a tricky here in Quebec, because, yeah, I sing in English, basically, because yeah. Most of my songs I wrote when I was on the road. And when I'm on the road, I think in English. I don't think before, when I speak to you, I don't think in French, I think in English.
Yeah, you don't listen to what I say in English, translate it to French,
no.
And think of it, you know. Yeah,
so it's just, I've been traveling so much, and it's like, if I dream, I will dream in English. It's really easy for me to fall into English, like, completely. And when I'm traveling, I carry my guitar around, and a lot of my songs I wrote on the road, and they came out in English, just naturally.
The art you're creating with it is second to none. And it might not be mainstream, but it is, you know, what makes me proud to be part of the music community and proud to be Canadian and all of those things. So the long and the short of it is you would encourage other artists to come here, but don't just drive through, play a show, and get the heck out of town. I think the secret is stay here a little bit and soak in some of what the Quebec art community has to offer. Would that be right?
Oh, yeah, it's really worth it.
Yeah.
If anyone needs any, say, help, MySpace, you can contact me. I'm, anyway, how do you find me? My MySpace is fan number one.
You're looking for the dancing Captain Kirk.
That's right. Have you seen the dancing Barry? Captain Kirk? That's me.
Yeah, the dancing Captain
Very
Kirk.
Helpful.
And I'd be happy to help, so don't hesitate to look me up.
Yeah, that's right. Barry will steer you in the right direction. Well, I hope we can come back and visit again soon.
I hope too.
Okay. Andy Cann will be here again. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Au fond, on est tous dans le même bateau. On est seuls, mais vivants. Le cœur, c'est toujours loin des questions d'argent. C'est peut-être naïf, mais moi, j'y crois.
Anywhere, put her there. Oh. Yeah. gonna laugh, satisfaction said, I declare, you're the best one anywhere, I'll put her there.
CD the last week at the Coffee Morning. Ryan Doan is the grandson of Isabel and James Doan and Margaret and Joan Tate, and he recorded this CD in Canada.
Another concept blown, and I'm stranded alone, holding on to despair. Situations used to come and go, I could go with the flow, live without a care. But that tongue, with that poison tongue, well, it got me stung, and it's flown through my veins ever since I fell so far from grace. What the hell say? By the plan that I can't understand, maybe you should keep what I lost today. I'm sure I can make the right move, and I'm lost in the mood, just not acting myself. Ever since I believed every word you said.
My name is Jeff Leek. I'm Director of Music Programming for XM Satellite Radio Canada, and you are listening to IndieCan Radio.
I'm
We just heard The Outfit, a Toronto band who, if you've been with us for some time, they were the feature artist. I think it was episode 27. You can check IndieCan.com if you want to know more about that band. We had a great interview with them and three great songs live off the floor then. Before that, from the Okanagan Valley, Ryan Doan. Scottish heritage, of course. No newcomer to music. I think this is his fourth record. He's from the Okanagan, Kelowna, I think. And he sent this to me, and it's a great record through and through. Before that, something brand new, The Dress Whites. This is a originally a Montreal band, now living in Toronto, and this is fresh off the press from their brand new CD, My God, The Shame. Whole album's great, end to end. If you like good pop music, it's gritty. I like it a lot. Thanks again to Marie Georges. And, of course, David Gendron, who engineered our session. That live music of Void's Anatomy was at La Ninkes. I don't know if I pronounce that right. La Ninkes. Oh, I'm so sorry. Anyway, that was in Quebec City. David, like I said, engineered that whole show from his studio. As I told you earlier, I just dig that stuff. Now, what we're listening to on the theme of, and now for something completely different, we're going in a different direction. What you're listening to is something I picked up when I was at Long and McQuaid. I was at head office, or their main store in Toronto, rather, and talking to one of the brothers Long, John Long, and I got this CD from him. This is called The Bebop Cowboys Western Swing Orchestra. It's campy, it's wild. It reminds me of Joe Jackson had an album called Jump and Jive some time ago. Anyway, there's some small trivia for you. This particular track includes their friends Chris Whiteley on vocals and co-writing. Enjoy the Bebop Cowboys. We've got Jeff Leek on deck from XM Satellite Radio, and I think you'll enjoy what he has to say.
We'll be hand-holding and romancing. We'll cut a rug dancing on a Saturday night while the band is swinging sweet and high. Like they always do, we might even have a nip or two. Fiddles, a steel guitar right in the middle. The band is hotter than a griddle, so come along to the dance on Saturday night. Your sweetie pie. Hurry in a car, a pickup, or a Surrey. Just forget about your worries. Be sure and come to the dance on Saturday. The dance on Saturday night.
Jeff, last time I caught up with you, we were at the Halifax Pop Explosion, which I thought was a great festival. Did you have a good time there?
Yeah, no, it is a good event. I think, too, about Halifax Pop is it's something that is going to grow.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people went to Halifax Pop and said, oh, you know what, this is it. It's plateaued. It can't get better. But I think there's a lot of opportunity for it to really grow to another level. And that's exciting for me.
Well, considering the competition it had that weekend, there was the Western Canadian Music Awards were going on the same weekend. And in New York City, CMJ was going on at the same time. But to me, it was just a great time. I couldn't imagine having more fun somewhere else.
Yeah, you know, I think for CMJ being at the same time, it works well for bands because it's good routing for them.
Yeah.
So you can just stay on the East Coast and you can pop up to Halifax and you play Fredericton and do stuff like that. I think it is, though, a little bit tough for some industry people having to choose all of these events.
Yeah, I would have been at all three if they were on different weekends.
Yeah, so and we would all be broke as a result.
Yeah, exactly.
And very hungover. But no, it is something that it's growing. And I think what's happening, too, is that a lot of these festivals are learning from each other's festivals. And some of them are being really smart in their scheduling. You know, it's not hard to call up East Coast Music Awards and finding out when their award is, so I make sure I don't run on the same time, or Halifax Pop and stuff. So it's coming.
Yeah, according to Way Mason, the issue at Halifax was CMJ just waits to get the best hotel deal, and then that's the weekend it is. So it could be any time within the sort of 5 or 6 week period.
Yeah, that's right. They never know. And that's got to be frustrating for, I would even say, for the people of CMJ who have to schedule that event, because yeah, book your plane, come on down and hang out with us for the event. We don't know when it is.
Yeah,
how does that really
see you
work?
There. Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Now, what is your role at a music festival like that? What are you there to do? To discover new music, to promote XM Satellite Radio?
Yeah, a little bit of both. And when we were out at Halifax Pop Explosion, we did one more thing, and that was promoted that event and the artists that were participating in it. So we were doing some broadcasts, doing interviews and stuff. And it's a great way to promote ourselves at the same time, because not only can I tell you what we do, I can show you what we do. And here's the artists that are part of our satellite realm, right? The same people that you're going to see on stage tonight, you can hear on my channel, On The Verge. You hope to come across some exciting bands while you're at these events. And, you know, it's tough because you and I probably know most of the real good bands. A lot of people continually talk about the real good bands, but it's the hard part is that discovery that, you know, that one band that no one has talked about yet.
So what's happening in the satellite radio universe? We hear about the merger in the United States of XM and Sirius, that there isn't enough room for two satellite radio stations there. That hasn't happened yet in Canada?
Well, it hasn't merged yet in the U.S. either.
Okay.
They have put in the offerings that one wants to purchase the other.
Right.
But that has to get approval from your competition boards, your regulatory boards, all up and down the chain. And it's taking time. Like, it was supposed to be, the information on this was supposed to be released, you know, earlier on, in fact, late last year. But for whatever reason, it's being delayed. Some people are pretty antsy. As far as the universe goes, it's business as usual.
Like, yeah. They're both acting like competitors still. And
yeah, we still hate each other.
Yeah.
until the day comes that we are forced to be friends, we will fight. No, you know, the funny thing, even with satellite radio, it's such a new thing, even in the U.S., where it's been around for 7 years. It's so new to the public where I like anybody who signs up for the service, whether it be with XM or be with our competition, because it just tells somebody about the story.
Right.
What this new entity is and why you should investigate it for yourself. You know, why it can be positive for you. You know, it gives you a little bit of a guide to start with, because it really is a product that once you get it, you understand it. Telling someone about it, it doesn't make kind of any sense. You know, they just don't see why you would want to pay for a satellite radio service.
Now, people I know who have it certainly say they could never listen to FM radio again. just the quality of sound is just so great.
I have as many CDs, probably less CDs than you. I'm guessing you have a lot more music than I do. My wife won't let me keep anything. I never, hardly ever use my iPod now.
Yeah.
Because I know all of those songs.
Yeah.
Those 5,000 songs, those 5,000 artists, they could be the rarest clips. And it's great that I have them. I like them for the archive. If I ever really need to hear Journey again, I can go to it. But the neat thing about XM Satellite, or Satellite for that matter, is that it's so genre-specific. You can find something that is new to you, even on the oldest of oldies channels, on the classic rock channel. You think you've heard every classic rock song. You haven't.
Yeah.
And you can find it. So there's all this discovery going on all the time. And that's the appealing thing to me. Like, no one is going to play that song by Led Zeppelin on the radio. Well, XM has a Led Zeppelin channel where that's all they play is Led Zeppelin. So it's, you know, you think you've heard all the songs, but you haven't. You know, some rare stuff. So that's the appealing thing. You know what? The great thing about what Satellite does is we say, hey, come check out this channel for now, but don't forget to go check out the other channel because it's Tom Petty talking about, you know, some of his favorite songs. We want you to go check out the universe.
Yeah.
You know, when you wake up in the morning, if you need your news, you're going to listen to the news channels, and then you're going to flip over on the same Satellite system to Bob Dylan and his Theme Time Radio Hour special, where his themes have covered Cadillacs, the devil, all this stuff, and it's all there.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, we want you to stay with us, so we just give you 130 channels to choose from, and you should be able to find something.
Crazy. Now, what are the numbers like in terms of new subscribers on a monthly basis?
You know, that's the one thing that we often forget about, is that we have new people tuning in and becoming subscribers every day. Peak season's around Christmas. People are buying Satellite radios as gifts and that. And there's days where, you know, we just got a few thousand more listeners.
Right.
Right? You know, if you want to look at the overall North America, it's tens of thousands of new listeners in that week, in that month. And we take it for granted that you're used to kind of a ratings number. You know, if you're working for a radio station, you know that we got 40,000 listeners listening to us.
Yeah.
Well, a radio station terrestrially, like your regular radio in your city, in your town, wherever, isn't all of a sudden by the end of the month going to jump up by 40,000 listeners.
Another 40,000 listeners.
You know,
no way.
I started with this company a couple of years ago, and we had 5 million subscribers, and now we have 10. And you just kind of – it's mind-numbing that there's just this constant new person checking you out.
Yeah.
And it's great because they also help you out with ideas. They're like, hey, have you ever thought of this, or have you ever done something special with this artist? And then we go, hey, yeah, that, you know, that's not actually a bad idea. Thanks, Todd in Saskatoon or Joe in Reno or wherever. So –
is there any way to know what they're listening to? What channels are fan favorites?
Yeah, we have. We want our subscribers to tell us what they like. Well, I want you to tell me what you hate, mm-hmm. because we want to make it perfect for you all the time. We have 130 channels that you can listen to. We know that you're not going to be listening to 130 channels. They're there for you if you want them. I mean, I listen to one channel once a year. There's this one channel that I check out one day of the year, and I don't listen to it any other time, but I love the fact that it's there. It's this channel called Cinemagic. And at Halloween, they play all these Halloween soundtracks. So you got your Michael Myers stuff. So I listen to it on Halloween because I put my speaker out on my front porch. So when all the kids are coming up, collecting candy.
Yeah.
I've got the creepiest music in town broadcasting to them. But that's only once a year. The rest of the year, I got my cluster of channels that I just filter through. And that's what most people are like. So we want them to tell us overall what they like, what they dislike. There's voting websites out there that XM has created, and that just for you to tell us. We know they're not extremely accurate. Right. But it gives us a rough guideline. You know, it's not far. There's we do also some monitoring as far as we do some ratings that are put out for just what it is that's most popular.
A lot of your new subscribers come through different promotional campaigns you have, right? Like car companies, it's half of the car companies, you're going to have an XM satellite receiver in it, right?
Well, 60% of the 60. Canadian automobile market has XM. The automobile manufacturer industry is really strong for satellite radio. There's no question. The downside of that is it means you got to go out and spend $25,000 for a car.
Yeah.
It suddenly satellite radio became cheaper. More expensive, you know? But it's great.
Parking issues.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a great introductory ground to it because people will go and they'll get their new vehicle or they'll have their rental car or, and they'll be, wow, I really like this service. You know, maybe this is something that I should get for my house.
Yeah.
Or for just, you know, riding my bike to work or whatever. So, yeah, but the automobile industry is really strong for satellite radio, and we thank them for it.
Well, a lot of people love the mobility of satellite radio. You can put it in the car. You can take it inside, hook it into your stereo speakers. You can take it on public transit with you. It's completely mobile.
Take it in your boat. Maybe yeah. Take your boat to work. No, yeah, it is good for that. I mean, it totally changes your driving experience.
If someone wants to do a trial run with XM Satellite Radio, they can go to your website.
Yeah.
They can get a free, how long is it? It's sort of a free trial where they can listen on the, over the internet.
14 days.
Yeah.
So you go to xmradio.ca and free trial, I think it's right on the front now.
Yeah.
And just click on it and listen on your computer. Set it up, though, at your office. That's what, like, set it up at the spot where your computer is going to, like, where you're going to be around your computer for a good amount of time. Don't do it at your house at that computer that you only check your email 3 times a week.
Right.
Because you're not going to really get the experience of XM. So do it at your office. You know, put your headphones on and just have that playing in the background.
Somewhere where you can at least listen for a couple hours a day.
Yeah. Listen to it a couple times because a lot of people, they check it out, but then they're never back at the computer because, well, I got to rake the leaves the entire weekend. You know? Do it at a place where you know you're going to give it a fair shot.
Well, thanks for coming down. I hope we'll see you where? Canadian Music Week? You going to be there?
Canadian Music Week? Yeah, we'll be all over that.
North by Northeast.
Be at North by Northeast.
How about South by Southwest?
South by Southwest.
Yeah.
All the letters. We're going to all the letter festivals.
Every acronym, you'll be there.
I would like to go out to Edmonton for the Western Canadian Music Awards this year.
Yeah.
I'd like to go to that. Maybe the Junos. I don't know, but that just seems like a lot of money that I'll spend on something that I don't need to spend.
Great hockey.
You can go check out a game.
Yeah,
that's right.
Sure.
Well, thanks for having me.
You bet. Okay, we'll see you soon.
About
were listening to Pat the White, better known as Pat LeBlanc, also from Quebec City. Originally saw him way back in Canada Day at Downs U Park. A great live act. Barry knows this band very well. Barry Mel, I forgot to mention you. Thanks for your help in getting this Quebec show underway. And anyone who wants to find Barry, find out a little bit more about the Quebec music scene, just go to our website, www.indycan.com, and you can find a link to him there. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. It means the world to us, and we'll see you next week.
For more information on the artists featured on today's show, visit indycan.com.